Adkins thrown out in the snow as the Saints aren't so saintly, sacking their manager despite his midweek miracle at Stamford Bridge. I am Robin, once back in as the Dutch maestro gets ready to return from injury and back to Bundesliga action. And it's a super Sunday this weekend as Inter take on Roma, Chelsea take on Arsenal and Tottenham take on Manchester United. All the build-up here to the weekend's games coming your way on Friday's edition of World Football Daily. I am Oliver the Deuce Wilson, bringing you the news and views from around the world of football. And I'm delighted to get straight back into Bundesliga action this weekend. The long winter break in Bavaria is over, and we are joined first and foremost straight away down the line by the BundesligaLounge.com's podcast co-host and German football journalist, Mr. Matt Herman, joining us right here on WFD on Friday's edition. Matt, it's a pleasure to have you back for 2013. We've been asking all of our guests, what are the kind of Christmas traditions and New Year traditions that there are in Germany?
Wow, Christmas tradition and New Year's tradition. I'd say the most impressive one that you see here in Germany for New Year's is the behavior of folks with fireworks. If you search on YouTube, look for like Berlin Sylvester, they call it Sylvester spelled with an I, is what they call New Year's Eve. You will probably find some pretty shocking footage of people shooting fireworks at each other, at cars, at passersby. It's kind of a scary thing to experience.
Wow, it sounds exciting, and I guess it's some excitement considering there's been no German football to be talking about. Plenty going on though in the last couple of days. We need to get into the big news straight away, Matt. What do you make of Pep Guardiola coming to Bayern Munich? Did you see it coming at all?
I did see it coming. I mean, I think when last we spoke, which was about a month and a half ago, the rumors had just begun to gather a little bit of steam. And even then, I thought it was a good idea. I mean, I'm probably not the first one to have remarked on some of the structural similarities between Bayern Munich and FC Barcelona. I mean, they're both clubs that have a lot of tradition and have a lot to of high expectations of whoever's in charge, but they're also very well-run clubs. They're clubs that have great youth training centers. They have a lot of involvement in the community. They have a lot of involvement of former players in the club. And there's a lot of sort of institutional stability that I think that Pep Guardiola is going to really find familiar and find very positive about working at Bayern Munich. It's going to be a tough challenge because you know, coaching at a place like Bayern is always difficult. You have a lot of folks in the boardroom looking over your shoulder. By that I mean Uli Hoeneß, Karl-Heinz Rummenigge, Matthias Sammer these days. But it's going to be a nice place to work.
It's obviously a great place to work, a fantastic club to go there. What do you make of the people that say that it's an easy move? Because Bayern are a Barcelona-style club in terms of a two-tier title race in Germany, and they're a dominant force in the German league.
Well, I think that I couldn't really disagree more with that, in a way. I think that unlike two of the other very strong candidates for his signature, by which I mean Chelsea Football Club and Manchester City, Bayern Munich is in a very special position in Germany. Some might say that it's an easy position because Bayern Munich are pretty much always the favorites for the title here in Germany. But that also brings a certain degree of pressure. If you don't win the title at Bayern Munich, then you are pretty much, your head is going to be on the chopping block. That might be true of someone who coaches at Chelsea or Manchester City. But ultimately, there is enough competition in the Premiership to where I think a realistic boardroom is going to look at it as not a calamity not to win the league. And if you don't win the league at Bayern, then you might just find yourself in trouble very quick.
I love, Matt, how
it
you...
It also is a club... You know, I was going to say one more thing. It also is a club that has, at least in the past, not been able to attract the very highest talent in Europe, because the wages aren't quite as high as at Real Madrid or at Barcelona or in much of the top echelons of the Premiership. A lot of players who you know, want to make as much money as they can in the short careers that they have not necessarily been looking to play in Germany and looking to play at Bayern, even though it's a pretty rich club. I mean, maybe Pep Guardiola's presence at Bayern can turn that trend around. But, you know, Bayern has had a lot of success, mostly by raising its own good players and by shopping within the Bundesliga and then having a sprinkling of players from abroad, players like Arjen Robben or Franck Ribéry, who they can attract every couple of years. So I think it's going to be a very challenging job for him.
What is going to be expected from him straight away then? You talk about the challenges and a Bundesliga title. Will the Champions League be expected inside his first 2 years at Bayern?
I think it will, and in a way, I think it should. I mean, Bayern has been in the Champions League final two out of the last three seasons, and I wouldn't say they're all that bad a bet to make it to the final this year. I mean, the Champions League this year is very difficult to call. I think any time in the last several years, you have to say that Barcelona is the favorite, but they've managed to lose along the way to the final and not make it. So, you know, I think Bayern's not a bad bet to get to the final, and if they have the kind of year that they have been having this year, then I think they might well do it this year. So I think that in a way, if Pep Guardiola comes in and is expected to win a Champions League title or at least make a very deep run in the Champions League, that isn't really asking all that much, considering this is kind of the level that Bayern is already at.
What are the other problems that he'll face at Bayern Munich? You mentioned that Barca and Bayern are very similar in setup, but there's also the strong links to the German national team. Will that be a problem for Pep coming into this club?
No, I think that's actually going to be an asset. In terms of the German national team, it has been something of a disappointing last couple of years for the German national team. They went into Euro 2012 really thinking they had a very good chance to win that tournament. And they thought that they might have finally caught up to Spain. I mean, Spain has been basically Germany's bugbear for a good 5 years now, ever since they lost to them in the final of Euro 2008. Of course, they lost a bit in the semifinal of World Cup 2010. And basically, Joachim Löw's project over the last 2 or 3 years has been to try and measure up to Spain, in a lot of ways, steal as many pages from the Spanish playbook as he could. So in a way, I think that the continuing project of the German national team, and perhaps now the project facing Pep Guardiola or his aspiration at Bayern, is going to be to make Bayern and, in a way, the German national team both more Spanish, if you will.
What happens to Jupp Heynckes? Said he's going to retire from management, but will he stay around the club? Do you think, will he be another person leaning over the shoulder of Pep?
Well, the rumor is he is going to be brought in some kind of consulting capacity. It's pretty unclear as to what that might amount to, and it's also pretty unclear what a lot of former players at Bayern exactly are up to. I mean, Bayern is the kind of club that likes to keep a constellation of former players around it. Mehmet Scholl has been working with them in a youth team coaching capacity, working alongside his other job as a television pundit in Germany. Oliver Kahn is not working in any official capacity at Bayern, to my knowledge, but he's another guy who I would be very unsurprised to see work for the club in some capacity in the future. I mean, it seems to be in the culture of that club that if you've either played for or coached them long enough, that they never really let you go. And in the sense that he might be another person looking over Pep's shoulder, I don't think that's going to be a big worry. I think that Jupp Heynckes, the way he has handled himself over the last couple of seasons at Bayern in terms of avoiding any kind of political stink with the upper management at that club, which is a very, very difficult task to do. He's been about the most uncontroversial coach at Bayern in the last decade. So I don't think he's going to be ginning up controversy anytime soon.
What about the Bayern squad that he's inheriting? Arjen Robben's coming back into this side after being laid off for an injury. Is it important now for all of these players in the second half of the season to really show Pep that there's no need to bring anybody else in?
Well, I think that that's going to be on everyone's mind. But it is also the kind of club that sort of thrives on a culture of competition within the squad. And I think that's, in a lot of ways, what we have seen go so right this year. I mean, you have had more competition in the attacking midfield area with the addition of a player like Sheridan Shaqiri, and truthfully with the improved play of Toni Kroos. Toni Kroos was a guy who hadn't quite found his role with Bayern, and this year is pretty much undroppable. It's going to be difficult when Arjen Robben comes back into the squad fully fit. It was a problem for Bayern last season, finding a way to fit him in. And in a way, that was probably Jupp Heynckes' biggest challenge last year, and in a way, perhaps one of his biggest missteps, forcing Arjen Robben back into that side when perhaps the early form of last season of Bayern was so good that that wasn't necessary. So I think that Pep Guardiola, of course, is going to want to put his stamp on the squad, and I can't imagine that he won't have a player or two in mind already who he wants to bring. But I don't think that this is the kind of squad that needs any kind of radical overhaul, and it has a pretty healthy competition throughout the squad as it stands now.
Bayern Munich side has been built to succeed this season, and they take on Goethe Fürth this weekend in the Bundesliga, back on our TV screens once again. Bayern, do you expect them to come straight off from where they left off before Christmas, just dominating the Bundesliga for the second half of the season?
I do. I don't see anything standing in their way, and I think that they've been handed a quite a favorable start to the second half of the season in Greuther Fürth. Greuther Fürth have been, you know, in my view, one of two clubs in the division, them and Augsburg, thus far, who really have proved that they don't belong, and I don't think they have much of a chance against Bayern in this first week. And you know, like I was just saying a moment ago, I mean, Bayern just have so many options. They don't have the kind of fatigue problems that have plagued some of the other clubs in Europe, in Germany this year. I mean, you saw Schalke come out pretty quickly in this season, the first 10 or 11 games. They looked very strong. But then playing in both the Champions League and in the League and Cup really caught up to them, and they don't have the depth that Bayern has. So I basically think that Bayern have smooth sailing ahead, unless they have some further problems, injury problems in defense. Holger Badstuber has been out and has not been missed all that much, just because Bayern do have sufficient cover to make up for a loss like that. But were Bayern to lose another one or two frontline back four players, they could find themselves in some trouble.
Now, Schalke, you mentioned they got caught up with the Champions League and energy really was sapped out of them, and they had a terrible finish to 2012 with the big long rest of the winter break. Do you expect them to come out firing again and with renewed spirit, especially having re-signed Jan-Klaus Huntelaar?
Well, you know, despite the fact that things went exactly the opposite, as I thought and as we spoke last time, that I thought that they were going to lose Huntelaar and keep Holtby, and things turned out precisely the other way, which I'm not sure was the wrong decision for them to make. I think Klaas-Jan Huntelaar is an extremely important player for that club, and it's very good that he's staying. Most of the other signs coming out of Schalke have been pretty negative over the winter break. Jens Keller, their interim coach, who has very little experience other than a somewhat ill-fated stint as an interim coach of Stuttgart a couple of seasons ago, has not exactly given a very confident figure over the winter break. And, you know, he's tried on a couple of occasions to speak to the press and say that things were going well. And on other occasions, he's had some of his senior players of the likes of Timo Hildebrand, who he has reinstalled as Schalke's number one in goal, have on the same day that he's given an interview trying to quell some of the waters, has told the press quite the opposite, that the players are a little bit worried, that they know that there's a lot of pressure on them going into the first couple of games in the second half of the season. They do have some injury problems. They have Lewis Holtby, who will be fit to play, but I don't know if he's 100%. They have Ibrahim Afellay, who's going to be out for several weeks starting into the second half of the season. And basically, if Huntelaar can't get himself back on track, he had a bit of a dry spell at the end of the first half of the season, I think Schalke could find themselves in a fair bit of trouble in pretty short order.
In terms of Lewis Holtby, we're hearing a lot of his potential move this January to Tottenham Hotspur. Do you think that's something that will take place? Bear in mind as well, Matt, that you did get the Schalke, as you say, the situation completely reversed since Christmas.
Well, I'm not sure that it will happen. I don't know how impatient Spurs are to have him. But I think that in some ways, maybe it should happen. I mean, Schalke have a fairly crowded situation in midfield, and it may well get a lot more crowded very soon. They've already signed Rafael from Dynamo Kiev, who I think is quite a useful player, a player who had some very good years behind him at Hertha Berlin, and basically was the best player in some pretty mediocre sides in Berlin, who may well find himself lighting up some games surrounded by a much better side in Gelsenkirchen. And all signs are pointing to Michel Bastos of Olympique Lyon joining Schalke within the next several days. So if Schalke wants to be able to give decent playing time to their many, many folks in midfield, I think that moving on Holtby and cashing in a little bit on him might not be such a bad idea.
Might not be a bad idea at all. And Schalke playing tonight against Hanover. Just finally, the reigning champions, Borussia Dortmund, away at Werder Bremen this Saturday. Dortmund have brought him back in Nuri Sahin on loan from Real Madrid. He's returned to his club. What do you see as this? Is this just a depth move for Dortmund? And how do they face Bremen this weekend?
Yes, I definitely think this is a... Well, this weekend match is a pretty difficult one to call. Bremen played them very tough in that opening match of the season, way back in match day one. And Bremen actually have a very good record historically against Dortmund, especially at home. So I can't necessarily predict a Dortmund walkover here. I think the Nuri Sahin move, as you couched it, as one pretty much just keyed on improving depth in the side, is exactly the way it is. I mean, if you look at this Dortmund side, it's a very good side, and it's played, well enough to brush aside the likes of Manchester City, Ajax, and Real Madrid in the Champions League, as well as make it up to third in the Bundesliga, even while not playing at their best. And, midfield would be nobody's suggestion as the part of the squad that needs strengthening the most. If anything, folks might have thought a little bit more cover at the outside back positions. But, be that as it may, I think this is going to give them a little bit more tactical flexibility. And it's also going to allow them to be playing on three fronts, to be playing in the League and Cup and Champions League, and not have to worry about injury problems or fatigue problems. Because Nuri Sahin, at least if he's the Nuri Sahin who led Dortmund to the Bundesliga title 2 seasons ago and was voted the Bundesliga player of the season by his peers that year, if he's anything like that player, he's going to be a huge plus for this side. And he is eligible to play in the Champions League. So as long as the price was right for Dortmund, and it sounds like it was, it seems like a great move.
Matt, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you back here in 2013. And we look forward to getting back in contact with you later on in the year, mate. Have a very good one and avoid any stray fireworks.
Beautiful. Always a pleasure.
Cheers, mate. Matt Herman there joining us here on World Football Daily, talking all things German football and the Bundesliga. Of course, you can find Matt at the Bundesliga Lounge, the show host of the Bundesliga podcast on the BundesligaLounge.com. A pleasure to get chatting Bundesliga with Matt once again. And it's a pleasure to have Bundesliga back with us. As I said, Schalke taking on Hanover tonight, the first game after the winter break. Hoffenheim take on Gladbach. Wolfsburg take on Stuttgart. Mainz take on Freiburg. Leverkusen take on Eintracht Frankfurt. That's going to be a very interesting tie indeed. Second place against fourth place in the Bundesliga, and only 3 points separating Frankfurt from Leverkusen in second spot behind Bayern Munich. Munich take on Goethe Fürth. Werder Bremen take on Borussia Dortmund. And then on Sunday, Nürnberg take on Hamburg. And Fortuna Düsseldorf take on Augsburg. Fortuna Dorf. Wow, very peculiar. I'm not going to lie, folks. I've had a very, very long morning this morning today. And I guess Fortuna Dorf is just something that happens to come out of my head after maybe only a couple of hours sleep last night. But we will persevere. Nevertheless, on Friday, we have a huge weekend of footballing action to take a look at today. We also have to have a quick look at the MLS Super Draft as well and what happened last night in Indianapolis involving the top Major League Soccer side, Toronto, having a very, very good draft indeed. We're going to get into all of that and more a little later on. But first, Rafa, give us a little cheeky break so we can catch our breath and get ready to talk Major League Soccer and the weekend's action.